This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're speaking with Tina Patterson, who is a master of efficiency, helping leaders to navigate the complexity of working with remote teams. Author of the new book, Effective Remote Teams, Tina has helped teams over 10,000 members to navigate working remotely while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. Who wouldn't want a piece of that? And as an authority who has helped massive companies transition to outcomes over hours and help companies retain exceptional talent by reducing burnout. And we're certainly thankful, Tina, that you took a moment to be with us here today.
My pleasure, Eric.
So, Tina, to get things underway here today, how is it possible to leverage a virtual team and not only meet your goals, but to outperform them without burnout?
It's a great question, Eric, and it all starts with a leader's mindset. So gone are the days of us working in the office from Monday to Friday, 8 till 5 or 8 till 6, and instead flipping that and focusing instead on the outcomes that people deliver for their people, for their customers, for their organization, over when or where they work. So focusing on when or where the work happens, this is for knowledge workers who do have the discretion over when and where they work. That's now become quite an outdated way of looking at things. So it's still really important to be able to collaborate and to connect face to face, but really to think through when does that make sense? And if you focus on those outcomes over the hours in the office, it then gives your people the freedom and the flexibility to do it a bit more on their terms based on when they have the energy and when they're going to be at their most productive. Because we absolutely know that not everyone's best productive hours are necessarily that 8 till 5 o'clock.
Well stated on that. I could not agree more with you there. Now, it's said that remote working can actually lead to overproductivity, which can be a very fast way to lead to burnout. What can leaders do to help foster a culture of not overproducing?
Yes, and this is a really important point, Eric. And when I speak with corporate leadership teams around the world, this is usually one of the top challenges that they say. And the reason that it is such a challenge is because when people work from home, their physical environment doesn't change. And it's quite hard for a lot of people to swap between when they work and when it's time to switch off. So that was definitely one of the benefits when we were in the office. There were very, very clear cues of when you were leaving your home environment and going into the office to work, and then when it was time to switch off when you were leaving the office and returning home. So a key is to think about what are those rituals that you can create, even if the physical environment, being your home, is still the same. What's the physical cues that you can create so that you can train yourself to think, okay, it's now time to start work. And then at the end of your working day to go, okay, it's time to switch off. And this could be as simple as going for a walk around the block, or even just shutting your laptop and putting it in your desk drawer. It doesn't have to be something big to signal it's now time to go and actually recharge.
I like it. Good stuff there and some great information there as well. Now, what are some of the warning signs that employees, particularly your overachievers, are nearing the burnout stage?
Yes. So often it is when there are really longer and longer hours. So as I said, people absolutely giving them that autonomy of when they work is important. But if you're seeing that your employees are sending emails or Teams messages at all hours of the day, that is absolutely a cue to have the conversation to say, how are you going? Are you making sure that you've got time for rest? Because we know that it's when we switch off that then that allows us to switch on. So that's the first one of just looking at where are the visible signs of communication and are they extending out? Then the other things to look at is their productivity going down? Do they seem exhausted? Are they a bit more irritable? And things like that. So we know that when people are tired, and having gone through my own corporate burnout, I know that everything seems a chore when you're exhausted. So even the smallest task can seem like it's a really hard thing to do. So particularly when you see a change in behavior of your people, that's the thing to be looking for, because not everyone turns up to work in the same way each day in terms of how they show up, whether it on camera or in the office. But if you're seeing a change in the behavior of any of your people, that's the sign to think, is it time to have a conversation with them?
Well, we certainly appreciate the feedback and information and insight shared so far today. We're visiting with Tina Patterson, the author of the new book, Effective Remote Teams. She's helped teams of over 10,000 members navigate working remotely while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, do you think that overall company culture needs to change to address burnout?
Absolutely. And it starts with the leaders. One of the things that I hear time and time again from employees is that they, when they find it really hard to look after themselves, is when they don't feel they have permission from their bosses to do it. So it really does start at the leadership level of role modeling that it's okay, and actually we want to celebrate the fact that people have a great career and a life outside of work, whatever that means to each individual employee. So it really takes the leaders role modeling this for it to be successful, because we know that employees look at what their bosses do in terms of to make themselves feel comfortable that, yeah, it is okay if I go for a walk at lunchtime, or I finish a bit early one day to go to the gym, or whatever it might be.
Now, here's a question for you, and I'd love to get your feedback on this. What are your feelings about the purpose of the office and how some executives are demanding that their teams return to the office full time?
Oh, it's a great question, Eric. And what I'm seeing is there are two very distinct type of leaders. There are those who are adapting and saying, okay, it might not be my preference to not be in the office where I can see my employees the whole time, but I know that the tides have turned and I'm going to embrace this new way of working, because the research is loud and clear that employees want this flexibility. And then there are the people who are still hanging on to the way things used to be, where we worked 80 plus hour weeks in the office, and that presenteeism of showing our bosses we were hard workers without necessarily measuring the outcomes. Those leaders with that focus of mandating that their people need to be back in the office full time, they're the ones who are going to lose out. Because we're seeing also with the millennials coming through, their expectations are completely different. So I'm personally a Gen Xer, and I see the difference of the emerging workforce coming through, that they just won't stand for being told to be in the office full time if it doesn't make sense. So the purpose of the office is a really great point for leaders to consider. And what I encourage leaders to think about is not necessarily how many days a week makes sense, but instead to think through what type of work makes sense where we're better together, face-to-face collaborating in the office. And there are certain roles then that lend themselves to being in the office more than others, because they need to, or it is so much more effective to stand around a whiteboard, brainstorming, innovating, collaborating together. And then there are other roles that are deep into Excel spreadsheets all day, where it really doesn't matter whether they do that in the office or from home. So thinking about the type of roles that you have and the type of activity is a much more effective way to think about the purpose of the office.
Now, leading into the next question, now we've come to a time where everyone is looking for the perfect work environment. But what is your idea of the perfect work environment or scenario?
Well, I think it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. So what is my ideal work scenario probably is different from yours, and that will be different from the next person. So it's really about having the explicit conversation with your team around what works based on the type of work we've got. And what I'm seeing, though, is for most teams, the majority of teams, it is some form of hybrid, whether that's 2 days in the office, 3 days working based on wherever your preference is, or something similar to that, but really focusing on the activity and what work does it make sense for us to all be in the office together for. And then other than that, it's really based on preference.
It really does make sense, and thanks for your feedback there as well. Now, do you think leaders believe it's silly, unproductive, or unprofessional to connect with their teams other than in a professional manner?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think this is something that I've definitely seen a shift in leadership over probably the last 5 or so years in particular, and particularly during the pandemic, where we were all forced to work from home. So our leaders and our colleagues got to see a glimpse into our home lives, no matter what that looked like, when we had our videos on video calls. And so it forced this push to acknowledge that we're not robots who just work. We all have things and people in our lives outside of work. And the leaders who are doing incredibly well right now are the ones who bring that authenticity and vulnerability to work, and who also role model, and they talk about what they did on the weekend. And they talk about the fact that it's okay to, and it's encouraged to have hobbies and connect with other people outside of work, and that can give us energy then to be productive and do our best work. So that is absolutely what the best leaders and the high performing leaders are doing. They're encouraging their people to bring their whole selves to work.
Excellent feedback on that. And throughout the session here today, we can't thank you enough for joining us and for making the effort to write the book Effective Remote Teams, and for what you do in this space as well. As we conclude today, leaders seem to be really in a spot these days where they are asked to be a lot more flexible when it comes to dealing with their teams. As we conclude, what in your opinion is the best way for them to get help in handling tough situations?
Yes, I think first of all, an employee-employer relationship is a two-way street. So employees also need to be aware that they need to produce the outcomes for their role. And so having the conversation in that context of, can we achieve the outcomes in how we're working now, or do we need to do things differently, is the first point. The second point, and this came through loud and clear in the research I did for my book when I interviewed a lot of C-suites, is that trust and connection that leaders build with their teams is so important to succeeding in this new hybrid world. So it is a lot easier for leaders to have the tough conversations with their people when they actually know them as people first, and they've built that level of trust to be able to say, hey, how can we have this as a two-way street that we both get to have what we want in terms of the outcomes for our organization, as well as whatever flexibility it is that you're looking for to be able to work in this role. So it really is a give and take relationship that's built on that foundation of trust and connection.
Tina, again, we thank you for your time and for joining us here today. And I'm sure listeners want to know if there's a website where they could get further details to be in contact accordingly. Obviously, to pick up the book, Effective Remote Teams, where's the best place to do so?
People can go to effectiveremoteteams.com.
Easy enough. And as always, listeners, we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast as well. Tina, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Health Radio.
My pleasure, Eric.
Again, we've been speaking with Tina Patterson, the author of the new book, Effective Remote Teams, who has helped teams of over 10,000 members navigate working remotely while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. And for all the details, visit effectiveremoteteams.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.